Were any of your formative crushes cartoon characters? Are any of your current crushes cartoon characters? If so, join the club. We literally have t-shirts. I'm comedy writer and 42-year-old child, Gabby Hutchison Crouch, and I say it's normal to get your knickers in a twist over a person made of pixels. What's attractive about these moving drawings? I want to find out with the help of some funny guests who are here for a chat about the animated characters that they want to have a 10-heart event cutscene with. Will we find something out about early crushes, pop culture and sexuality, or are we just going to bang on about a video game sprite's lovely hair? Whatever we do, I hope it'll help you rest assured that the fact you kept deliberately using the wrong doors in early Tomb Raiders because you liked it when Lara Croft gently berated you is absolutely fine. Welcome to Curiously Drawn. You may have noticed that this episode is not the start of season two, which I still need to get organised. I'll probably be recording that in the autumn because about half of my prospective guests are currently at the Edinburgh Festival of Chuckles. You may have also noticed this is a longer episode than usual. That's because myself and this episode's guests have a WhatsApp that was once for work and is now entirely dedicated to talking about fit video game characters from one specific video game that I made her start playing. So I suggested that we do a summer special together. With me for this summer special Spangle episode is a member of the team behind BBC Sounds history podcast You're Dead to Me and my co-writer on kids comedy history podcast Homeschool History. She and I have been good friends since we started working together in early 2020. We have still never met in person. It's Emma Nagoose. Hello, Emma.
Hi, Gabby. I don't even know what you look like. That's not true.
We send each other photos of one another when we finally finished our first series of homeschool history. We were so excited because we still weren't allowed out of the house, so we couldn't have a wrap party. So instead, we all took photos of ourselves holding cruet sets, bottles of sauce, as if they were Oscars.
Yeah, I think mine was a Nutella.
That was our lunch party because we weren't allowed out. We've done a lot of work where we're just not allowed to see each other, and we still haven't managed it, despite being co-nominated for two different awards and winning one of them.
We won. Yeah, thank you.
Winning one of them, we still have not. We still haven't met. We haven't been to the award ceremonies. We're just. No. One of these days, my friend, one of these days.
Yeah. It's one of the industry's biggest tragedies, I think, that we haven't touched bases IRL, only URL.
Yeah. Haven't touched bases, haven't touched each other's faces. But it will change one of these days, I'm sure. This episode isn't just a special on video game characters. It is a special on characters from one game, which is, as I say, I got Emma into, and I think it's fair to say that we've both become way too emotionally invested in it.
Oh my God, too. But also I was just about to say, Gabby, it's actually really fitting that we've never met because we are, to each other, two-dimensional characters.
Kind of, yeah. I guess
we're meta video game characters. Yeah, oh God.
We're another's NPCs.
But yeah, no, this game, it's gotten really out of hand for me, actually. I actually have some stuff to be getting on with, but it just doesn't happen. Like, in my housemate, she's really invested on this little farm, really invested.
Yeah, basically, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably already know what this is going to be about. But Emma, why don't you tell us, where are we going this summer?
We're going to the valley. We're going to Stardew Valley, the only valley worth visiting.
Yay!
I'm emotional just thinking about it.
It's so chill. I mean, it starts off chill, and then you've got like three different farms.
It starts off with the untimely death of your beloved grandfather, doesn't it?
Oh, he's fine. He comes back and haunts you later. Actually, no, it starts off with you in a soul-crushing job because the whole thing is a metaphor for big business bad, small business good. And you start off basically working for Amazon, then you go, F that shit, and you're given a farm by your granddad who just left it. He just left it to go farm. It's in a right old state.
Yeah, Yeah, the premise is actually really similar to lots of Netflix original films.
Yes. Yes, it like, really is, isn't it? Like a Prince for Christmas kind of. Yeah. Also, instead of the standard three choices, even though we're limiting ourselves to just Stardew Valley, we are going to talk about six characters. The official reason for this is that this is a one-off episode, and we're talking about a very immersive game. There was a lot of people's like lockdown comfort game, so people get very, very into it, and it shows how even in one narrative there could be lots of characters that we find attractive and for lots of different reasons, of different genders, of different ages, of different personality types. But the real reason that we're doing six instead of three this episode is, fuck you, it's my podcast and I'll do what the hell I want.
And we're thirsty bitches.
My rule.
And I'm sure we'll get onto this, but it's a game that really invites that sort of behaviour. That, yes. Like, experimental, you know, get around the village, like, it, you know, that really is built into the format, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
You can literally, spoiler alert, you can date everyone at the same time. Well, not everyone.
Well, yeah, you can date lots of people at the same time. You can, yeah, there's a lot of options open to you. Or you can date nobody if you don't want to date anybody. You can just make friends and just concentrate on killing skeletons and growing crops. You can do as much or as little as you want. You know, there's people who've just like dedicated the whole game to like getting their farm like really on point, like getting their farm really, really beautiful. Whereas mine is like one corner with the crops and the barn and my chickens that have all got comedy names, and then just leave the rest.
You see, I'm not bothered about dating in real life, but I am an absolute Stardew slag. Like that. Honestly, like, forget the apps. I just fire up my Switch and I'm ready to go, honestly.
Whereas I'm the opposite. I like, I cannot bring myself to date anyone but this one character who I have been through the romance mill with him three times now. I'm on my third play. On my third play, I was playing it with my alongside my daughter. We were doing a co-op game. If you haven't played Stardew and you got an Xbox and you fancy giving it a go for free, it is on Game Pass at the moment, and that lets you do a co-op like with somebody else who's in the same house as you. We were like, oh, we could date anyone. No, we're just going to date the same two people always date. We're ridiculous.
I couldn't have people observing my Stardew behaviour. It's very not my brand, you know. It's just, you know, giving gifts to men to make them love me. It's not what I want people to see for me, really. But
well, I mean, my daughter with my enabler. I'm your enabler. My daughter has enabled so many. She's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's very, very sweet that she totally knows what I'm going to be into, but it's ridiculous some of the things she's enabled. She pushes these pretend men on me, going, "Mum, you're going to like this shit. There's some really good mentally ill shit that you got here."
To be fair, Gabby, that was basically you at me. Like, I know, you know, I don't want to give the game away, literally, like, too early, but one of the gentlemen that we're going to talk about, I had no interest in. He was cruel. He was cruel at the saloon. And you were like, "No, no, Emma, no, go on, give him a pepper. Give him a pepper, wait a few days." And then that was the start of something new, in the words of High School Musical.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be the first one that we talk about. Because,
oh, thank God.
Yeah. Because it's really, really obvious if anybody who's listening does follow me on Twitter, you already know who we're going to talk about first. Good grief. So yeah, let's get the obvious one out of the way. So my thirst for this character is as big as his own thirst for beer and self-destruction. He is the grumpy problem drinker with a sweet, soft heart, a fondness for chickens, and zero self-esteem. He'll tell you to get out of his face, but buy him exactly one pizza and he will fall madly in love with you. He's the shell.
We've all been there.
He's the shell stacker who needs saving from Jojo Mart and also from a cliff. It's Shane!
Oh, God. That was was darker Gabby. So true, this, though.
He's a dark yeah. character. So
he's
Shane
a dark
is,
prince, yeah.
He is. So Shane is, it's like you get, so you get, when you're playing a game, you get little cut scenes. Once you've made somebody like you, there's like 10 hearts that you can get by giving them presents and being nice to them. So it's really, really easy to get heart events for Shane, first of all, because you always know where he's going to be. He's always either at Jojo Mo or the saloon, and you know what he likes. And his birthday's really early on as well. So if you just buy him a pizza on his birthday, it's like, hello, I love you so much. So for one of his later heart events, like he has a, his storyline is basically, he's going through some really bad mental health problems, and he is actually contemplating suicide. It's actually done really, really well. And a lot of people who've suffered from depression and from problem drinking, he's not actually, people think he's not actually an alcoholic, but he's a problem drinker. And a lot of people who've had sort of problems with problem drinking, and especially with very, very, very low self-esteem and with bad depression, have said that his storyline is actually really quite good for a video game. It's you have this talk with him and you don't solve his problems. At no point do you give him like a cheery peppy, come on Shane, everything will be all right. And he goes, oh thanks for saying that to me, I'll pull my socks up and now I'm gonna be fine. That doesn't happen, and he does struggle with his mental health, even if you end up in a really happy relationship, or even if you end up with like a really nice warm friendship, you don't cure him, because relationships don't work like that, and depression doesn't work like that. He continues to struggle, but he continues to work on himself, but he knows that there's somebody there for him now. You're not the only person who's there for him as well. Harvey's there for him as well. The town doctor helps him out as well. So yeah, a lot of people who have sort of suffered from that level of depression have said, you know, this is a pretty good sort of presentation of that sort of mental health. I just babbled on because I really love him.
We knew it was going to happen. We've got space to talk about Shane. I'm not getting a word in edgeways here.
This is my bay. So I've got a work laptop on which, since the lockdown, when I wasn't taking my work laptop out for work anyway, I was just going to the kitchen to work because other people were using my computer, I started putting stickers on it like a silly little child. I've got stickers of three of my biggest cartoon crushes, and he is one of the three. He's one of the gentlemen. He's that tier. Yeah. The fact that I call the laptop the gentleman now. The gentleman, I'm just going to take the gentleman out to the kitchen to do some work.
But he is hot though. And honestly, it's not like bless him, he's so damaged. But yet the relationship isn't transactional in that way you were just outlining, in the sense that, yeah, it's not incumbent upon you to fix him in any way. Mm. Although the promise, or not the promise, but the suggestion that you might be able to fix him is really central to the appeal for certain types of women. But yeah, he is very, very rude to begin with, though. Which again, yes, that gentle neg, it's quite hot. Although with Shane, it really can go into the flat out rude.
Yeah, I don't think he's negging though. I don't think he is I don't think he's being rude to attract you. I think it's the opposite. I think he's being rude to push you away because he's got such low self-esteem.
I agree, but I put it to you, Gabby.
His brain goes, this is going to go wrong. This person's going to break my heart. I think he's pushing you away instead of trying to like annoy you into a relationship.
But I would suggest that, picture it, you're a new farmer in town, Gabby. I know it's been a while for you since you were the new kid on the block at Stardew. But even if we can see now in hindsight that that isn't what he was trying to do, I think when you're first in the saloon, you can experience it as negging and still find it quite hot. Even though as the journey progresses, you can go, oh man, this guy really has got some shit going on. And as you say, he just doesn't think he's deserving of love, so he might as well not go there. But to begin with, when it's like, go away, I don't want to talk to you, it's like, oh yeah, great, please talk to me. Yes.
if you do ask him to marry you, he will have a bit of dialogue where he says that he can't believe it and he still thinks maybe this is a joke.
Oh, I know. That's so heartbreaking. It actually brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
And then, like, after you're married, it's still, you know, you like me? I still struggle to believe that someone was, oh, Shane, honey.
He says,
my God.
I don't know whether this is something that happens if you play a woman, but certainly I found this when I was playing my man character. He will occasionally, when you're married, he'll occasionally say, you know you're better looking than I am, don't you? Oh, Shaney. Oh, Shaney.
Oh,
Shaney.
Oh,
but then occasionally he will just straight up say that you guys have just fucked. he'll say something like, oh, what do you mean? Why have I got this big goofy grin on my face?
Yeah.
You've got a short memory, haven't you? It's like, why don't you just come up to me in the morning and say,
literally,
hey, I enjoyed our intercourse last night.
He also says, like, he says something about getting the juices flowing.
Yes.
And then you go up to him again and he goes, what juices?
Jesus.
You're so silly, or something like that.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
God.
Clearly tried to be flirty and then gone, that didn't make any sense, Shane. just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, but do you remember how you sold Shane to me? It really worked.
How?
I was on the fence about Shane because he was being a bit nasty. I mean, I see now that there were reasons. And
and
I was veering along the whole, you know, maybe I just want to look after my chickens. I love my chickens in Stardew. And then you were like, oh, come on. And then I was saying, oh, you know, I think I just want a quiet life with my chickens. I love them so much. I love them so much. And you were like, Emma, do you know who else likes chickens?
And then I sent you some fan art of Shane cuddling a chicken.
And honestly, that's when I went, all right.
Yeah. He really loves chickens.
And
he breeds his own chicken. He breeds his own blue chickens, and he's got a favourite chicken called
Charlie.
Yeah. And also, he's got this very strange relationship with Jazz, who might be his niece or might be his goddaughter. I think there's a very, very rare bit of dialogue where Jazz says, Uncle Shane isn't my uncle, he's my godfather, which suggests that, I mean, Jazz is very, very sweet and very, very quiet, and it is suggested that she's an orphan, that something has happened to that family that's just fucked it, which could explain why Shane is such a mess.
Yeah,
but you never find out what it was.
You don't, because, I mean, don't tell me that this is, I mean, it will be a spoiler, but I've got one of those secret notes where there's a picture of Jazz holding an anonymous hand in the farm.
Yes.
And so have you figured that out?
No, and the fandom hasn't either.
Oh, well, I feel like less of a failure at least, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
the tragedy's happened there.
I'm probably going to, because I usually put in a bit of dialogue from the characters to sort of cut this up and show people what the character sounds like, but obviously this is a computer game where they don't have dialogue, but fan videos have been made of some of the cut scenes with Shane, so I might find one of them and just record a little bit of the because the cut scenes are so soft.
You ever just feel like no matter what you do, you're gonna fail? Like, you're stuck in some miserable abyss, and you're so deep you can't even see the light of day? I just feel like, no matter how hard I try, I'm just not strong enough to climb out of that hole. Fast drinker, huh? After my own heart, are we? Just don't make it a habit. You got a future ahead of you still. Well, my liver's begging me to stop. Better call it a night. I'll see you around.
Oh, they're so good, though. Oh, God.
anyway, yes. So that's enough thirst for me. We've got a lot more thirst to get through. Yeah. I probably will keep coming back to Shane, though, because... Yeah. Nah.
Very hot. Very hot behavior from Shane.
So your next choice is my teenage daughter's version of Shane, in that, well, Shane is an archetype that is absolute Gabby catnip. This next choice is just as specifically appealing to emo teenagers. He's a grouchy, gothy nerd who lives in his mum's basement, but if you give him enough frozen tears, he'll crawl out of his hole and show you the big city on the back of his motorbike, or maybe just show you a cool frog he found. He's probably got anxiety. Is everyone's favourite chain-smoking IT guy with the My Chemical Romance hairdo? It's Sebastian.
I mean, what else do I have to say? You've just outlined the perfect man. I mean, right? What else could I possibly contribute? You know, you've got like an emo guy with a spiky fringe who likes frogs, who works in IT, who has a motorbike, who likes frozen tears, who absolutely has a My Chemical Romance poster on his bedroom that you can't see. Yes. But you know that it's there.
It's on the fourth wall that we can see.
That's the thing. I think, like, so I was born in 1990. So, you know, my teen years, early noughties, like, so I think Shane is, very hot. Love Shane. But yeah. I think it is the teenager in me who is like, I would have loved Seb as a teenager.
Yeah.
And you never let that go, do you? Even as
no, you get definitely older. Not. I mean, Seb's quite a bit younger than Shane. So you're in Stardew, if you haven't played it, your romanceable characters run the gamut from about 20 to about 35. And Shane's probably about 30, whereas Sebastian is definitely about... No, he's slightly older, isn't he? Because he's got a younger sister who's still romanceable.
Don't make me sound creepy.
I'd say Sebastian is early 20s, shall we say maybe about 23. He hasn't left home because he's so anxious. He's very clearly got an anxiety. He's very clearly got an anxiety disorder. We have got, oh my God. So if you're into like mentally ill characters like I am, it's just a smorgasbord. Shane's got depression. Seb's definitely got some sort of anxiety disorder, which he does mention sometimes, and so he has trouble if you marry him. He says things like he couldn't sleep because he, you know, his anxiety was up. Shane sometimes can't sleep just because he's sad. They've got a lot, but that's good because it means that they get up and they water your crops and they feed your chickens. But yeah, he's definitely got some sort of anxiety disorder that he's working on. And again, like Shane, you do not fix him. You just take him out of us with Shane. You take him out of a job that he fucking hated, and you give him some space and give him some chickens and let him breathe the air and get some exercise. With Sebastian, you take him out of his mum's basement. And again, you just give him sort of space to grow. Are you also take him away from his stepfather, of whom he is not a fan?
Oh God, Demetrius.
Demetrius,
don't get me started. Do you know, Demetrius really upsets me because, you know, he's also, when you first meet him, hot, he likes ice cream, he's into science. Yeah.
He's a science guy.
He is so mean to his stepchildren. Although Maru is actually his daughter. Right?
Maru is his daughter. Yeah, it's a different, he's a problematic dad in different ways.
Oh, he's an arsehole to Maru.
Yeah, he's very offhand with his stepson, Seb, and he's very overprotective of his daughter, Maru.
You see, I only recently had the cutscene with Maru and Demetrius. And as you say, oh my God, he's like horrifically overprotective and like intimidating of you.
All I've done is give her a cut.
Yeah, I've given her one cauliflower cheese and this guy's, I'm sorry, squaring up to us in his lab. Like, are you kidding? I'm sorry, Maru could do with some more friends. She spends all of her downtime sat alone in a garden playing with a battery. Like, I think she could probably stand. Well, she has a Penny friend. One Penny.
Penny friend. Well, I think her and Penny might be special friends. I hope that they're special friends. They spend a lot of time together, and frankly, they could both do.
And with an escape route.
They both got problematic parents, and they could both do without escape.
I would love Mario and Penny to be special friends. Mm. Because I do have more friendship vibes with Penny, but I would love to get her out of that household.
Yes.
And part of me is like, God, I would marry her just to get her out of that caravan.
Just to save her. I wish that you had the option to unseat that piece of shit, Mayor Lewis.
Exactly. Are you actually joking me? I'm sorry, you have one man who has a mayor who has a gold statue of himself in his
own home.
But there's
no school in the town.
There's no school. What the hell?
What the hell, Lewis? And he abuses that power to...
He leaves his underpants at Marnie's house.
Yes.
Which in isolation is fine, but like pouring on it, you know what I'm saying? Like, give the woman what she deserves.
Exactly.
He actually really upsets. When I think about that mayor, I get really upset. Because as you outlined so beautifully at the beginning, Gabby, this is an anti-big business game, you know?
Yep.
It's sort of a bit socialism. It's like, you know, community-minded, small businesses. You know, we all band together. We can save this town. But yeah, you have this piece of shit mayor who apparently is unelected. I mean, God, I'm in my fourth year of Stardew. I've not come across any election announcements, you know?
No.
Where's the democracy? Democracy is not thriving at Stardew Valley, I will say that.
It is not. If they ever do come up with like a new patch or a new version of the game, I'd really, really love for them to add that you can recall Mayor Lewis and that you can make Marnie would make an excellent mayor.
And it wouldn't be up to me, the new farmer, to build a community centre. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
And Robin's just the carpenter, the heirs, just offered me the option to build Palmer House, which would get Penny out of the caravan. Happy to do it, Gabby. But again, where are the structural solutions?
There aren't any. To be fair, it doesn't pretend that that is a solution to the problem. Like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it does not solve. That doesn't solve the problems. It just gives them a larger space to have problems in. Basically, nothing cures Pam. Pam's too far down the line. Oh, well. There's a lot of problematic parents in this game.
I feel like we've really got off track with Seb. Poor Seb, though.
Well, let's get back onto why Seb is a hottie boom botty. So I talk about this archetype a lot. It's what I call the Prince Zuko archetype, which, honestly, Prince Zuko is responsible for a lot.
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
But lots of Gen Z feelings and a lot of sort of younger millennial feelings as well, probably. There's a lot of that sort of boy that happens, and when that sort of boy does happen in a narrative, I do exactly the same thing as my daughter does when she sees like a grumpy goblin a grumpy goblin man with a heart of gold. With me, when I see the Prince Zuko archetype, I go, you're gonna like this shit. That's some good grumpy shit. Yeah, he's the younger version of the grumpy goblin man. He's not as far gone, you know, he's still young, but he's got problems. Usually he's got daddy issues.
And he really has, yeah. But I did like, is it the case that Dimitri, like, not only is he very dismissive of Sebastian, who's his stepson, does he ever even directly address him or even mention him in any way?
No.
No, I mean, that's not nice, is it?
Considering there's not that much of an age difference between Seb and Maru, he must have, like, Demetrius must have come into this family when Seb was, like, a baby. And he was just like, hello, darling. Oh, there's a baby here. I'm going to ignore that for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, poor guy. No wonder he's so anxious and awkward, but he does have good friends, you know. I really like, he's part of a dumbass trio, and I really love that trio archetype as well. You see that loads. It happens a lot in anime, basically. There'll be two boys and a girl. One of the boys will be really, really cheerful and sunny and like loud and like rock and roll and sports and stuff like that. One of them will be a grumpy, grumpy, gloomy, gloomy emo. And then there'll be an adventure girl. Yeah, and I always really love that sort of that structure for a three-person friendship.
That's two guys, a girl, and a pizza place. Do you remember that TV show? Before Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool. Back when things were simpler. Yeah. Yeah, but Abigail. I mean, she is adventurous. Love Abigail.
She is lovely.
But yeah, Seb, I mean, the guy just stands next to a river in the rain. That is hot boy behaviour, so far as I'm concerned.
Very much so. And he does bring you an umbrella one time.
God, the bar's really on the floor with these guys, isn't it?
No, he finds you a frog. You have the option to adopt the frog and make the frog your son. It's nice. It is nice. And he does take you out for a romantic motorbike ride to see the city.
Well, you see, Gabby, this is good because I say that I date a lot of people in Stardew Valley, which is true, but I don't really get all these heart events very often. Oh. And I'm only married to Shane. So a lot of this stuff, I don't know. And also, I told you about the issue with Sebastian, didn't I?
No.
Oh my God. Right. We were getting on so well, Gabby. We were getting on so well. The heart levels were up.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Oh my, stop it, Gabby. Yes. Okay. I'll tell the people at home. Right. Turns out there's a very thin line between love and hate. And for Sebastian, that line was giving him void mayonnaise on his birthday. And it was one of the worst days of my life. He was about to give me a ride on his motorbike. Things were great. I saw his motorbike. He showed me his motorbike, Gabby. Things were getting serious. No. And I had it in my head that this guy loved void eggs, which he does, by the way, listeners at home. He loves void eggs. Had it in my head. His birthday came around. And in my head, I just got void eggs and void mayonnaise mixed up. And the best of us have done that, Gabby.
It's an easy
mistake to make.
It really is.
Go to him on his birthday, give him some void mayonnaise. He not only dislikes, he hates void mayonnaise. And he was like, it's my birthday and you give me this? He just looked so sad, and the hearts plummeted.
Oh,
he
mate.
He was present on his birthday.
Oh,
I was
mate.
Devastated. Really devastated. And I'm only just now getting back up to higher heart territory.
Wow.
Because that is good, what I will say about the gameplay function of Stardew. Unlike a lot of other games, you have to surrender the whole day if you want to start again. You can't just, like, save it and, like, go back and undo that horrible mistake you just made. Unless you want to get rid of the whole day. Mm-hmm. It started off very annoying, but then actually you have to really go with it sometimes, which is helpful, but that was a very heartbreaking moment in mine and Seb's relationship, Gabby.
Really sad. Well, hopefully you'll go on that nice little bike ride.
I think I am building his trust up again, one void egg at a time.
Excellent.
But never mayo.
No, never mayo. So your next choice is, from some of the fan art I've seen, she's very popular with the lesbians. So she's blonde, she's pretty, she doesn't like cleaning under the sofa cushions. She seems like a mean girl at first, but she has a softer side that involves taking photos of cows. She's terrible at opening jars and is ridiculously easy to please come sunflower season. It's the popular girl. Hayley!
Yay! The lipstick lesbian Hayley.
She's so pretty. She's so mean.
she's mean to begin with.
Yeah, she's like, I can't have a go at her for being mean because so is Shane. She's mean to begin with, but you just have to scratch the surface and it's all, she's had to put up she's putting up a show because she wants to be the perfect one.
Exactly. I'm glad you've addressed that, Gabby, because I was about to say, double standards.
I know.
They're all very mean. No. A lot of them are very mean to begin with, but no, Hayley, she really does fit into that archetype of the sort of Regina George, mean girl, blonde, as I say, very sort of beauty conventions.
Mm.
And to begin with, yes, quite annoying because she's very mean to you, but I think I just love her so much and find her very attractive, because she really does live her life the way I'd like to live my life, you know? Like, yeah. She's got her sunflowers, she eats pink cake, she flirts with people at ice cream stalls, she takes pictures of nature. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, Hayley, live that life. And, you know, she likes nice things, I like nice things too. I'm having a nice glass of Prosecco in a Marie Antoinette saucer as we chat right now. So I just really, you know, she knows what she wants. It's pretty things.
Yeah.
And coconuts. And I love that for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's also come sunflower season, and sunflower season goes on forever because it's summer and autumn. She is super easy to please. If you give her a sunflower and sunflowers are worth so little. I really do just grow them to impress Hayley. I've always got a couple, on the go.
Yeah.
And it really is just, well, I press some of it for oil, but most of it is just to make Hayley happy.
What?
You can press sunflower seeds for oil.
Oh,
in your God. In your truffle presser.
Are you actually kidding?
No.
I didn't know that. I was wondering, how the hell am I meant to make hash browns? But now.
Well, there you go. I mean, you can just buy oil from Pierre's as
I try
well,
not to buy from Pierre.
I know, even though he's a small businessman.
Oh, whatever, we're all small businesses. Like, Pierre, horrible man, awful of his wife. No.
Another problematic parent. What is going on?
Oh, God. Poor Abigail. Another. No wonder she spends all of her time in her room and in the graveyard. Like, I would as well. But no, Hayley, yeah. I'm intrigued by what you say, that she's very popular with lesbians. Because I honestly would have thought that was Leah. But thinking about it, like, her favourite treats, pink watermelon cake and coconuts, are probably the most sapphic snacks you can have in that entire game. So that actually tracks for me.
Yeah, she's very, 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 very pretty as well. She's a summer girl, you know, she's a fun summer girl. Well, both of those sisters are. Emily is her sister who she lives with, who's got like older child energy. Also, yeah, Hayley's got the younger child energy. She's very clearly gets mothered by her own sister, which must get very annoying. But yeah, she just loves summer, and she likes hanging out at the beach with her little towels, and yeah, every sunny day just going over and standing with Alex the hot jock with the ice creams.
Gabby, isn't it very nice to be flirted with, like, in real life and in Stardew? And what I will say about Hayley, maybe more so than some of the other ones, is when she does flirt with you, she's really flirting with you, oh God, like, it's quite giddy flirting. It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's what I love about giving her a sunflower. If you give her a sunflower, it's like, here's this cheap-ass piece of shit I grew. And she goes, oh, my God, this is my favourite thing. It's like, you're very easy to please, aren't you?
Yeah,
and she also appreciates how strong you are. You're good at opening jars.
Oh, you see, everyone likes to be made to feel strong, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's having an umbrella brought to you when you can impress a girl by opening a jar? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And she, whatever the gender your character is, she's like, she's impressed. Actually, most of them don't care what your gender is, except for Alex, who could be a bit of a dick if you're a girl.
Oh, Alex is such a dick. Like, I'm sorry, Alex is such a dick. Also, very hard to romance. I did try with Alex, but like,
she's getting legs.
Yeah, but he doesn't love them. He just likes them.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to really impress him, you have to have a complete breakfast.
Which is so hard to make.
Are you kidding? Hash browns, fried eggs, a salmon dinner. I mean, who does this guy think he is? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, complete breakfast in our house has turned into our go-to slur, basically.
You complete breakfast.
What a complete breakfast. But yeah, very difficult guy.
He's the one I keep forgetting. I always sort of go through and go, I'm sure I forget. Oh yeah, Alex. Him.
Yeah,
I mean, my daughter likes him because he's a jerk with a sad, he's got a very tragic backstory.
I see, I don't think I've gotten far enough with him.
Yeah.
As I say, I've tried, I haven't got enough complete breakfasts to crack that exterior to know what his backstory is. But he lives with his grandparents, so yes. There's something there.
I mean, there's something there with all of them, basically, aren't they? Hayley and Emily's parents are alive because they will send them mail sometimes.
Don't they?
Maybe that's it, yeah. Obviously, with Sam, his dad's been to war and comes back in the second year. He's not, Sam's dad isn't in it at all for the first year, and Sam is quite worried about him. When his dad comes back, he's got PTSD and it's a whole thing. And obviously Seb gets ignored by his stepfather, and Penny's in a horrible toxic relationship with her alcoholic mother. Leah's got no parent issues that we know of. Neither
has
Shane.
She's got a toxic ex.
Yeah. Shane, obviously, he doesn't have parent issues because he's a bit old for that. Leah, Shane and Harvey are the ones who are a bit old to be having parent issues.
I feel like Harvey, if I'd put in more time with Harvey, he just seems like a bit of a drip to me.
He's a bit of a drip.
I wanted to like him. I was like, oh, you like coffee? I like coffee.
Yeah.
But if your favourite thing's pickles, I'm not sure how much mileage is in that relationship. Like
if you just want, like, a nice guy. I mean, there's two. If you want a nice guy to be nice to you, there are two nice guys who were just, like, uncomplicated, and are just there to be nice, and he is the drippier one of the two. Let's move other one of those. So your next choice manages to perfectly balance being a starving artist and also a silly fluff-the-brains himbo straight out of a 1993 romantic comedy. He's a man who wears formal wear while living in a hut on the beach. He sits alone in his shack writing longhand like he's Percy fucking Shelley and talking about his artistic vision while writing what turns out to be a deeply formulaic genre novel that you have to help him with. He's sweet, ridiculously grateful about duck feathers, a good drinking partner, and really does have lovely, lovely hair. It's the foppish author, Elliot. Now, this is the other completely unproblematic, just a dummy. He's just a gorgeous dummy on the beach. If you want just somebody to be nice and uncomplicate a nice, uncomplicated romance with a man whose only problem seems to be getting sand in his hair, then this is the guy. This is the guy. Why don't you tell me about what you love about Elliot?
Well, I was going to retort with he puts the bish in Percy Bysshe Shelley, but he doesn't because he's such a nice guy. Elliot. So Elliot, before I had you whispering in my ear, was going to be my guy, you know? And I sometimes, when things are getting really hard with me and Shane, think maybe I will go to the mayor's office, get a quickie divorce and hop in a boat with Elliot. What do I like about Elliot? Well, for one, his lovely hair. I'm sorry. I imagine that if the prince from Beauty and the Beast was actually hot, he'd look like Elliot. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the prince from Beauty and the Beast wishes he was Elliot from Stardew Valley. There's those luscious locks, the red coat, the drama. Like, I think that my character would be very at home in a romantic landscape. And I guess, he's very dreamy.
Yeah.
He's a starving artist, as you say, which is just... I just imagine that Jeff Buckley is always playing in his cabin. And like... he's just like escapism in a little man. He's the sort of man that only exists in your mind and heart. Do you know what I mean?
Oh God, yeah. I think
that's the appeal of Elliot.
He's got such early 90s vibes. He's just so, he's straight off a early 90s Mills and Boone novel.
My housemate says that he's a manic pixie dream girl if they were a boy. Like, I sort of see it. Except there's nothing really manic about him.
A little bit, but he's basically, he's a guy who would have no lines in a Celine Dion video. He'd just walk out of the dry ice in a Celine Dion video while she walks around him.
Didn't Celine Dion do the pop version of A Tale's Oldest Time? No.
Maybe it was. Because it wasn't A Whole New World. Oh, yeah, look it up.
I am. I'm going to.
Because A Whole New World was Peebo Bryson.
It was Beauty and the Beast.
Was it?
So there you go. Our takes are very...
Tale's Oldest Time.
I can't share. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. You know when people say, oh, I don't like musicals, people don't just burst into song. It's like, well, my friends do.
And you know that Elliot would as well. You know he'd burst into song.
A guy who takes you on your first date in a boat is either a gigantic red flag or the love of your life. And I think he's a few that is a keeper.
Yeah, I mean, we should talk about the dates because obviously I've only been on a date with Shane. Shane just takes you to a football game. It's just the most low-stakes thing. And throughout it, he's worrying about it. He's, like, really, really nervous about the whole thing. Seb takes you on a motorbike ride. Told me that Elliot takes you on a boat. Now, I don't know what the dates are for...
He takes you on a boat. And what I will say, actually, in terms of troubling the unproblematic hun status, I was married at the time, Gabby. Did it stop him? No. Hopped in that boat. And also, again, you're going to gasp again, Gabby, right? He did give us a kiss without asking. Yeah. And my whole body went like, ooh. And you had options of what to say. Like, you're being creepy, or I can't remember what I said. I think I was nice about it, but he probably should have asked first, especially I was married, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Me and Shane may have been having problems.
Oh man!
But you know,
that's did you thing. Know that you can date like almost all of them at the same time? But if you date all of the same gender at the same time, they find out, they all dump you.
No,
and. They all get really upset at you.
Really?
And I've seen the video of it.
You've seen it happen.
And the Shane one just breaks my heart.
I can't even bear.
Well, he's just like, yeah, well, I was waiting for this to happen because I'm scum.
No.
Oh, baby.
You see, that's both sad, but... See, I mean, if... Right, okay. So for people who haven't played the game, when you are dating someone... You have to give them a bouquet that you buy from Pierre that like basically means you're dating, right? So I did give Elliot this bouquet before me and Shane got married.
Ah.
But after you get married, the bouquet just stays. You can't take it back.
Yeah.
It just stays.
Or you can take
operation.
It back. You can buy a bouquet, leave it out to wilt, and then give them a wilted bouquet and that's you dumping them.
Oh, well, I haven't got the heart to do that.
Yeah, that's fair enough, because it will upset them.
But if I give a gift to Elliot now, I go home and Shane goes, I hear you secretly gave a gift to Elliot today.
Yeah.
Have I got to worry about you too?
So. It's only ones of the same gender that you're dating. Apparently, if you're married to a guy and you're dating a girl, they're like, the more the merrier.
Hot, yeah. Jesus. See, the amount of sunflowers and pink cakes I've given Ellie, heard no word of complaint from Shane about that.
Yeah, he'd be completely fine with it. They want to be in a polycule, but not with any of the same gender as themselves.
God, grow up, Shane. But yeah, Elliot, I do love him. And I do think I haven't got it in my heart to divorce Shane. But I think in a future game, I probably would.
Yeah.
I'd see how things went with Elliot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very hot. He's very sensitive. I did expect him to become a bit of a dick, but you're saying that doesn't really happen.
With Elliot,
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, I think he's just sort of very pretty and a bit of a sort of fluff for brains. Like, gorgeous guy.
Does sum it up quite well.
Oh, yeah.
A cute beach angel, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think there just is something very attractive about the people who live their life the way you want to live your life. Like, wouldn't you love to be the sort of person who just runs away to the beach to write their novel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like, Hayley, I'd love to just flirt with people at an ice cream stand, eat pink watermelon cakes, and take pictures of cows.
Yeah, a lot of them have very... I mean, considering that a lot of them do have quite complicated and unhappy lives, there's also quite a few of them that have got perfectly lovely lives and are just living the dream. Bless them.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see much plumbing in his cabin, mind. But I guess he is right next to the sea.
I think he has to wee and poo in the sea. Mind you, none of them have... there's no bathrooms in any of the houses. I don't really know what's going on
there. You know, I did notice that because... Well, it's hard not to notice that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, maybe before they make an update where you can be the mayor, they need an update where you can give yourself a pink bathroom because that is really what I would like in all of this. I mean, you can go to the spa and, like, have a bath, but it seems a long way to go every day for a wash.
Yeah.
And you're a farmer. I mean, you're going to smell.
You're going to smell and you never change your clothes. No. Maybe that's another update that they need to do.
And while they're at it, I mean, I'm guessing we might come on to this, but I mean, it's a very pale lineup of characters, isn't
it? It's a very pale lineup of characters.
Yeah. And you really have to wear your sunglasses at Stardew Valley.
That is a real shame. Yeah. Especially since, the only black character is Demetrius, who's an asshole. Yeah. Maru's nice. Maru is mixed race, but that's your lot, basically. Yeah. I mean, I think Jazz is coded that she could be possibly South Asian descent, but that's it. I mean, what would it take to come on? You can tweak a few guys. You can make it less white. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you're a game developer who's literally being able to start a society from scratch.
Right. Why make it so white?
Yeah.
You've got disabled representation, you've got a lot of sort of mental illness representation. There's a guy who's come back from the war, PTSD. There's a lot of sort of stuff about how, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover and so on. It's just like,
The critiques on homelessness, capitalism, in terms of like not really gender diversity to be fair, but like sexual orientation,
you know, nobody is as straight as a default. Just make it a little bit of a less of a sort of high up on the Dulux colour chart, you know.
You have to go to the desert and then you And even there, there's some stuff going on with the guy who owns the shop there. Yeah, it is maybe probably the biggest issue with the game. I say.
Yeah. But it would be an easy fix if the guy who does Concerned Ape, whatever your real name is, if you look at a picture of him, he's basically Shane. Oh, he changed a few things. It used to be that you couldn't date Shane or Emily. So he's changed a bunch of things.
What on earth? Why did people play it?
Exactly. Well, apparently when people were playing it, they just went, I want to date Shane.
Well, this might take us on to the next one, but I want to date Gus. So, like, should I be writing a letter to consent?
More people of colour, date Gus.
Yeah.
Overthrow the authoritarian regime. Toilets. So let's bring you into your next choice. So your next choice is, while single, not available to date on Stardew, which is frankly rude. He has a moustache as wide and as welcoming as the doors to his tavern. He has a surplus of jukeboxes, and sometimes he gets the hankering to cook an omelette the size of a child, and he needs you to bring him eggs for it, even though there's two perfectly good shops in town. We love a man man who can cook, and even rarer than that, he's one of the very few middle-aged men in Stardew Valley who is not a colossal jerk. It's the barkeeper and town chef, Gus.
Gus. Oh, I love Gus. I love Gus. Oh my God. Do you know what?
He's so
earlier,
nice.
He's so nice. And what you were saying, what we were saying earlier about the premise of Stardew Valley at the beginning being sort of like a Netflix original film, it's the same thing. Like Virgin River being a great example. You go in, you know, person arrives at a new town, you know, the hospitality at the bar, you know, more than one type of hospitality, hot bartender, fall in love. It's all there. I do not know why Gus is not a romanceable character. Like, circumstantial hotness, put anyone behind a bar, they do become hotter. Like, this is a scientifically proven fact. I just don't know why I can't date him. And Gabby, have you ever seen anyone more charmed by an orange than Gus? have you?
Nevers.
It's one of the most charming things I've ever seen in my life. I planted an orange tree for Gus.
Yeah. Aww. Have you had the cutscene with the crabs at Willy's shack?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely. They have. I really like his and Willy's little friendship that they've got going on, where Willy supplies the fish and Gus cooks the fish. And
lovely.
But they're friendly about it, and it's nice. And he can cook, and he doesn't gouge you. He's not an arsehole like Pierre is. He's just nice, and he's just sort of there. He's very friendly. He's got a luxurious moustache.
Oh, very luxurious. Have you seen the new Poirot films?
No.
He's got a very good moustache in it, Gabby.
A banana moustache.
Very good moustache. It's as big as his face.
A moustache.
That is how I see Gus's moustache. Also, one of the earliest interactions I had with Gus when I was just a new gal about town was, so in Stardew Valley, you can look in the bins to find things.
Yes.
And on lucky days, you can find things, which is great. Mm. And there's a guy who lives in a tent behind Robin's house called Linus, who I love, Linus. Mm. And one of Gus's first cutaway scenes is Linus is looking through the bins outside Gus's saloon. Mm. Gus catches him. And most of the time, every other villager, if they see you looking in the bins, will be like, yuck, disgusting.
Very judgy. Very
judgy. And it will, like, harm your friendship. Whereas Gus catches him and is like, hi, friend. Do you want something to eat? Like, he's just nice to him. He just treats him like a person. He's not just full of disdain.
Maybe we should make Gus the new mayor.
Oh, my God. Gus would do a great job. Gus just wants to feed the people. Keep them warm, keep them happy. He actually does give a job to someone in the town, unlike lots of other people.
He does.
He employs people. Oh my God. Yeah, maybe we've been overlooking Gus for potential mayor.
Potential
he really
mayor.
Brings people together. He's the town cheerleader. He radiates
really
sunshine, which is, it's right that his favourite fruit should be an orange. He's an orange. Oh, I love Gus, honestly. I love him.
And it's like at the luau, like they make this big deal about, oh, the governor's come, we're going to show what a great town we are through this soup. And it's, who's making it? You're always showing the town's worth through food.
Yeah.
And yes, you grow the produce, your character, and Marnie and Pierre grow the produce, and Willy also supplies food. But the person who actually makes it delicious is Gus.
Yeah, he's also the town cupid to begin with, because, like, I couldn't make a pizza early doors, Gabby. I had to get my pizzas from Gus to Woo Shane, you know?
Yeah.
That happens. And also, if I look through the people who I'm friends with the most in Stardew Valley, it really is the people who go to the saloon.
Yeah, because they're really easy to find.
Yeah, you're a farmer, Gabby. You've got things to do in the day. You've got plants to water. You've got animals to feed. So, you know, it's really hard to, like, romance people and make friends if they don't go in so many of their houses.
They don't go to
access. If they don't go to the tavern, you know, Gus is just the best. Brings people together. I also picture him, both him and Clint, as, like, you know, David Harbour from Stranger Things. Like, cop.
Yes.
I You know, that sort of
yes.
bear energy that's very bear. Hot.
He has got massive bear energy, hasn't he?
He really does. It's very attractive vibes. Really hot.
Love and that. Also, he gives one of the best rewards for completing quite an easy task, because the omelette is one of the first big tasks you get given. And if you've got two chickens, then it's pretty easy to do. And you also get a great reward. You get a jukebox for your farm, and then it's you can so play great. Whatever music you like.
Yeah.
Right, your farm. I play the jellyfish music or aww. Shane's theme, and I sing words that I made up to Shane's
of course
theme.
You do. That is so. Which that goes, might
his
be the most
name
brand.
Is Shane. His name is Shane. His name is Shane. And he's a douche. His stupid name is Shane. His ridiculous name is Shane. See, I'm mean to him, even though I love him. Aww. Terribly on brand for me.
Really on brand. Gus, I want to know what you think about Gus, because I don't think you were anticipating Gus being a choice. So I'd like
no,
to know what you
I
think.
Don't find him attractive. I think he's lovely. I think he's a lovely, lovely, lovely friend. Yeah. But I'm personally, I'm not attracted to him. I find the moustache slightly off-putting. I think if I find it I think he's a bit too avuncular for me. too avuncular for me to find attractive, but not at all too avuncular for me to want to be his friend and to hang out. I hang out at his bar so much, and I just want to hang out with him and eat his lovely food.
Yeah, I think if you're the sort of person who found Jack Black hot in the holiday, you're going to find Gus hot. And I do fall into that camp.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like Abigail. I'm not attracted to Abigail, but I absolutely love her.
Yeah, me too. I think it's because Abigail's a bit young. She feels a bit young to me. And I also, I don't really find the trio attractive, partially because I don't want to break up the trio. Just want them to dick about being idiots and having a band.
Yeah, you know what it is? That's actually helpful of you to say as well, because also they live with their parents. It's not hard.
Yes.
Yes. You can't, like, how can you find, like, oh, come into my room after 8 o'clock, like, past my parents' room? Like, it's not. I know Seb lives with his parents technically, but it is in a basement. I don't know, it feels a bit different.
Yeah, he's a bit older and has a job. You know, he's a freelancer.
But apparently, like, if you marry Abigail, she, like, comes on adventures with you to the mines and stuff.
Yes.
That is cool, you know.
That is cool that you get to do that for her.
I love Shane, but I do wish he would help a bit more sometimes, you know.
He has, considering how much he went on about how much he really wanted to, like, get away from Jojo Mart and get fresh air, and how much he loves chickens and he's a really good farmhand at Marnie's. He really doesn't fucking put his weight
he
at all.
Really
does
he really doesn't.
He doesn't even clean his room.
Oh, do not get me started on that spillage on his floor. I swear to God. But no, I mean, when he has the nerve to say to me of a morning that, like, he's watered the plants, it's like, bitch, I've got iridium sprinklers.
Yeah, yes.
Like, what on earth? Do you want me to say it that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
God.
Well done.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. So your last choice is my personal favourite of the ladies. Mm-hmm. The one that I always go, oh, maybe this time. Before just going for the goblin man again, because I can't stop. She's not a starving artist. She doesn't make such a big song and dance about it as Elliot does, but she really would like a free dinner if it's not too much bother. Her feelings for you are always expressed as a pretzel made of wood. And even if you get married to someone else, she never stops flirtily asking you if you want to spend a cold winter night snuggled under a blanket with her drinking cider, even though your low self-esteem problem drinker husband is standing right there. It's the artist, Leah. So yeah, I really like Leah. I always flirt a little bit with her.
Well, you can't help it. She lays it on so thick.
She's a pretty girl.
Oh my God.
And she's a little bit older as well. Yeah. She's coded maybe about 30-ish. She's been around. Mm. She's had a living... Yeah, she's had a living partner and, she knows what she's doing. And she's another person like Elliot who's just like, fuck this shit, I'm going to go and live on a river and make things. Good for
love
her.
That. lakeside cabin doing sculpture. She loves wine, cheese. I mean, she likes salad, but I can look past that. A nice dinner. And like, yeah, like she makes art for you that you can display in your home. Yeah. Incredibly, as I say, it's really nice to be flirted with, not like having to decipher what she's trying to see. She's just very hot. Lots of hot behavior emanating from Leah, I think. Another person that I think in a future game, I can see us being happy in a cabin by the lake for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, she does. Have you had the thing where she puts on an art show for the village?
Are you
kidding
me? Yes, I have. So you just you encourage her in her art. And like, unlike Elliot, who, yeah, you have to help him quite heavily, i.e. literally picking the
tell
genre
him what
of
to
his
write.
Novel. Are you kidding? Whereas you just mildly suggest to Leah that maybe she should put on an art show. And she bloody does it, Gabby. You know,
she bloody does it,
and
it's brilliant.
Again, very hot to see all of the town appreciating her artwork, and
And it's all sort of quite sort of conceptual, very modern art as well. And she gets all these guys, like these farmers and shopkeepers and bartenders, to go, I quite like that. It's weird, but it's working for me.
Yeah,
and she makes you a sort of a wooden pretzel to stick outside your farm.
Yeah, I think someone with a skill is very hot, isn't it? It's why Gus
is
hot.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a skill. Mm. He's an excellent bartender. Leah's hot. You know, she's got a skill. Haley's a photographer. Mm. Like, when they're just good at something, it's just very attractive, you know?
A lot of them have got, like, quite a nice hobby that's quite creative, haven't they?
Yeah, blue chickens if you're Shane.
Blue chickens if you're Shane. Yeah. Looking at frogs if you're Seb.
Looking at frogs. He's a computer programmer, Gabby. Come on.
Yeah, but that's his job, not his hobby. Mm. His hobby is looking at frogs. Maru likes looking at the stars.
I would like to be better friends with Maru because, astronomy. She seems like a nice friend to have, but...
She's a lovely friend to have.
Yeah. I think just for a while, like, I couldn't make cauliflower cheese, so I just didn't have a look in. And if it's not... If it's not strawberry season...
Yeah, she loves strawberries, I was going to say.
She's quite difficult to buy for, actually. Early in the game, I'd
say. She's got very expensive tastes, as Maru.
Yeah.
That's the
Whereas
problem.
Whereas Leah, she likes anything foraged. So,
yes.
I mean, there you go.
Just give her a weed, and she's like, oh my God, that's so good.
Oh my God,
eating it, it's so delicious. Like, she will eat anything.
I'm going to make a sculpture out of this dandelion. I bet you will, Leah.
The other person who's really funny to give gifts to is Abigail, because if you give her any gem, she will love it, and she will tell you it's delicious. It's like, stop eating! Stop eating that rock, Abigail!
Oh my God. Abigail, though, I you know when someone's birthday and you really want to give them a gift? What I don't understand about Abigail is that so many nights of the year, she'll just be stood in the graveyard, right?
Yeah.
Whereas come her birthday, she's in bed at 8 o'clock.
Oh, boo!
And I'm just
boo,
like,
Abigail.
You have this amethyst for you, Abigail. And you're hurting no one but yourself, really. But, like, what are you playing at? Like, it's quite sad, really. Anyway.
It is.
But Leah, big fan of Leah. What is not to like about Leah? It's just very hot
girl
energy.
And she's so flirty.
She's so flirty. And again, even after you're married, it really doesn't matter. She really lays it on thick. But hey,
as your husband is standing there, drinking his little non-alcoholic Georgia Cola. Yeah. Hey, do you want to come and drink some cider with me? It's like, dude, I like my spouse and I like alcohol. What are you doing?
She just knows that Shane's not a threat to her. She just exudes more sexual energy.
Even this person's husband is not a threat.
Yeah. I think she knows at any given moment, if she was to try hard enough, you'd be putting in her hands. Do you know what I mean?
I think everyone in that group knows this.
Well, here's Shane worrying about me giving pomegranates to Elliot.
Yeah.
Whereas Leah's really playing the long game. And,
He's like, hey, anything goes as a girl. Therefore, apparently that's fine with me.
Yeah. Honourable mention for Sandy in the desert as well, though.
Sandy in the desert with her boobs!
Oh my god.
What a rack!
Also, what I will say is I read an article. I saw a tweet, Gabby. Who am I kidding? I saw a tweet.
Just did you read the peer-reviewed article?
I'm used to bullshitting my sources in my other roles. I saw a tweet that said that you're more on the apps, you're more likely to swipe right if they're not looking in the camera. Which is like quite sad. Oh yeah, but Sandy, she's profile sideways on.
She's side on like Elliot.
Exactly. You like well, a profile. Yeah. Mm. But yeah, honorable. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, honorable mention to Sandy and yeah
with her rack. Yeah. So I'll just end this by asking you one last question, which is if the fairy were to come along in the middle of the night with her magic wand, and instead of making your crops grow all sort of out of the schedule that you had planned, instead says that she will bring one of these characters into the real world, make them flesh and blood. Who would you bring into this world, and would you romantically pursue them?
Okay, so bring them into the world, not necessarily to be a paramour, just in general.
Making them real. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, you could have given us a heads up, Gabby. That's hard. Can I just magic my pet cat into the real world?
Yeah, that's fine.
Honestly, my cat. Well,
what's
I say
cat?
That,
what
but
kind
my
of cat have you got? And what's it called?
Well, my cat is called Jiggy. And my real life cat is called Siggy. So actually, my cat is... everything on my farm begins with a J. I'm Jelly. My cat is Jiggy. My chickens are like... We've got Jolly, you've got Jilly, you've got Jemima, we've got Jojo, we've got Jinx, we've got Juju. Everything's a J.
Yeah.
So my instinct is the cat, but honestly, I do already have a cat. In real life, probably... My instinct was to say Gus, but actually I think Elliot, for the aforementioned reason... that he really only exists in our hearts and our minds. Show me a man who went to the seaside to write his novel who isn't actually a prick. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think probably Elliot, because I do not know an Elliot in real life, nor do I believe an Elliot exists.
He would be gloriously out of time.
Oh, he dressed as an Edwardian all the time.
Yes.
I'd love to know what hair product he uses. And if you're a starving artist and you like pomegranates, those are the most... I mean, that's an expensive fruit.
He's
I think Elliot, just because I think a lot... Women in real life are so great. There's no shortage. So I think probably... Yeah, Elliot. Elliot's my final answer.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, with that, we shall welcome a new Berry 90s Herds... writer to a beach somewhere and look out for his terrible novels. He spent literally years handwriting them.
With a
duck feather quill. Before you go, is there anything you'd like to give a shout out about? Any projects that you've got coming up?
That's a good question. Well, there's always You're Dead to Me, the podcast being made or released. What's that? You're Dead to Me. You're Dead to Me is the comedy podcast that takes history seriously. Comedy history podcast, BBC Sounds, BBC Radio 4. We've just doing a new season now. There's reruns on Radio 4, I think at like 11:30 at night. You can go on BBC Sounds, listen to old episodes of Homeschool History, the children's funny history show that me and Gabby wrote.
That's better because I'm on it.
Oh my God, it's so good. And if you are one of the few people who happen to be interested in biblical studies, you can check out my PhD work. A bit of feminist literary criticism in the Hebrew Bible. Lovely.
Sexy. Then
my alter ego academic personality, you can... look at that, but mostly You're Dead to Me, Homeschool History, and I think that's it. I think unionize.
Brilliant.
There we go.
Unionize. Join a union.
Join a union. Absolutely. Up the RMT. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you.
Bye.
Huge thanks to Emma there, who did message me afterwards saying that she'd better mention that we do also make Homeschool History and You're Dead to Me with Greg Jenner. That's G-R-E-G, new word, J-E-N-N-E-R. Check him out. He's new. You probably won't have heard of him, but he might be okay.